Good to be in the house of the Lord. If you'll turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And when you get there, please stand for the reading of the word. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Second Chronicles, chapter 7, and we'll pick up at verse number 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attend to the prayer. Now listen to that. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attend to the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever. And mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. You may be seated. The thought that the Lord had gave me is a call to prayer in times like these. And I guess when we see the impending judgments of God coming, now I'm not talking about just on your individual life and individual sin. I'm talking about when we start to see this world, things coming that God sends, when we see the stresses that we see, hurricanes, tsunamis, I mean, things that we've just seen in the last few years, the escalating of the war, the oil becoming such a powerful weapon that I believe it's going to be used when chemical warfares are looming about us, and we hear about this, and volcanoes and the earthquakes and the fault lines and the surges of the global warming that everybody's talking about, the tidal waves that can hit, and all of the named storms that they're talking about. What are we supposed to do in these times of impending judgment when God starts to unravel the scriptures that He says is going to come to pass? Because we know it's going to happen. Don't make us any happier for it, but we do know that it's going to happen. We know these things are coming. Is the church just to set back powerless and do absolutely nothing? Well, let me tell you, Luke told us a little bit about that. He says in chapter 21, he said, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are to come on the earth. The powers of heaven itself, the Bible tells us, are going to be shaken." When we look at it on a global aspect and we see everything that's going to happen, these things are going to come and men's hearts are actually going to fail them for all of the fear and all of the worry. But the Lord has not given us that spirit. The Lord tells us that we should look up when we see these things coming. Our redemption draws nigh. We should realize that they're going to happen. These things, life is going to unroll and prophecies are going to be fulfilled. Every jot, every tittle of what the Lord has given us here is going to happen. So when we see all this, plus when we turn on the news and we see the drugs and the gang violence and just the immoralities that we see and all of these things that are happening around us, and even the Christians themselves are starting to run and think, well, materialism has grasped us by the back of the neck, and we think we've got to get all that we can. We've got to get everything that we can get a hold of. We got to get our piece of the pie before the pie's gone. Make sure we can store it back. You know, there's not one thing that we can store back that cannot be taken away from us. Our security needs to be in our spiritual walk with Christ and the protection of God. I can put all I can into my portfolio and into my stocks, but with a blast from God's nostrils, they can be gone. Just that quick. And if that's what I'm trusting to get me through in the later years of my life, have I not trusted vainly? Should my trust not be? And I'm not saying for a minute to go out and spend every dollar that you make. It's foolishness. The Bible also teaches us, don't be foolish. I guess we need to live like Jesus could come tomorrow, prepare like He's not going to come for the next 70 years. That's the way we need to be living. That's where we need to be. So we don't need to just sit back and let everything that's going to go on. And when these things start to happen, people are going to come to you as Christians to ask for some answers. If this God is so great and this God is so fantastic, right? Why did he let that tsunami wash all of them people away? And a lot of them probably innocent. Man is not innocent from birth. You don't have to give an account to God for his actions. I know a lot of people say, well, you know, and they try to back around. That wasn't God, that was Satan. Well, isn't your God in control? Didn't you just say he's in charge of everything? Why did he allow it to happen? There's nothing wrong with you looking somebody in the face and saying, I don't know. I can only see partly through God's plan from my side of the whole situation. He sees the full plan. I don't know why. We can't figure that out. We don't have that answer. But then what happens is not only does that question come and you're left perplexed without giving somebody an answer for what they actually need, but when they walk away, that erodes some of your faith. Satan starts to spin that question around to take away the things that you believe in. Well, why would God let that happen? Why would a God that you love really allow that to happen? Maybe there ain't no God at all. Maybe we're just hearing things happen and that's it. And you don't have to let those things constantly erode all of your faith. Because as I said, the day of the Lord is coming. And I believe the Bible is very clear in saying it's a dreadful day. When judgment is going to come, it's going to be a dreadful time. It's going to be a hard time. Things are going to happen, but we don't have to just come apart and totally, just get in with the rest of the world and just freak out over everything that happens in our life, everything that we see happen, and think that you're held accountable. I mean, where we work, some of us are in charge, and some of us just work, but are you held accountable for everything that happens in your business? Absolutely not. God's not holding you accountable for every move he makes and everything that happens in the world, and you don't have to give an answer to every man as to why God does what he does. What we are to be able to give an answer for is why we have a hope in Christ. That's what he tells us to be ready to give an answer. I don't know why, but this is my plans for the future. I don't know why God does this, but he does it. There was an impending judgment that was coming on Judah, I believe it was. In the book of Joel, chapter 1, verse number 15, it says, "Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty, it shall come. It's going to happen. These things are going to happen." But Joel gave him a little bit of counsel over in chapter 2. He said, "Therefore, also, now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all thy heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. Rend your heart and not your garment, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness." What he's telling us, what we need to do in these times, even, and that's what really just amazed me about that verse, is he says, even then, even when all of the calamity is going on, even when life is unraveling at the end, when we see all of these impending what could be judgments, when we see the global war that is escalating and how things are aligning and things are starting to happen, that even then he tells us to continue to pray. That's not going to change the prophecies that God said is going to take place, but we are to pray for the sanctity and the peace that we can get from God that can only come from God. The United States forces cannot give me the peace and safety I need. The UN can't do it. They were talking on the radio the other day, said what we need is a global army. UN, isn't that what we got? And what do? Nothing. They can't do nothing because nobody can agree. If nobody can agree, then we won't move till it's 100% vote. You can't get 100% vote on almost anything, especially when it comes to going to war against somebody who's your friend. So that's not going to work. Our peace is not settled up in the things that this world can provide. And that's what Joel told him. He said, you need to pray even now. That's what the word of God was, to pray even now in your calamity, not to lose your focus. And folks, with the impending judgments coming, it will be very easy for us to get caught up in them and get pulled away from the things that are really very precious to you now. Wondering, worrying about, where am I going to get my next vehicle? Where am I going to get my next gallon of gas? Where am I going to buy my groceries? Where am I going to do this? God said He will take care of us. And we need to believe Him and His word. If He can raise me up, Denzel Weddington, and give me a new body and an eternal life, surely He can bring me a bologna sandwich if I need it. We need to have that faith in God. And we don't mind. We really don't mind believing God for the future in heaven. It's right now. I don't just want a piece of pie. I want a piece of my favorite pie. I don't want bologna. I'm supposed to have a ribeye steak. That's what I like. Medium. But God says He'll give us what our needs are. We have just set our expectations so high that our need might be bread, but we expect steak. That's where it's all come about. God's not lacking concerning His promises as we count it. It's what the Word tells us. Joel went on to tell them in chapter 2 how they are to come to the Lord. He said, let the priest and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. I believe Vicki was talking about that in our elections that are coming up, folks. This is an important, I cannot tell you or stress, and there's not enough ways that I can make you see how important the future of this country is in the next 2 years. I don't even know words to describe it. Life as we know it as American people can come to an end. And we're sitting back saying, it can't happen. Just like we sat back and said, they'll never take prayer out of school. And it happened. They'll never allow homosexuality. That's just unnatural. And it's happened. They'll never allow and legalize abortion. That'll never happen. And it happened. Do we need to go on? They'll never take God out of our government buildings. This country's founded on God. And it's happening. They'll never remove it from our money. There's no way they'll do that, because that's what... And it's in the works. The latest bill that went up ought to open up our eyes, and we ought to fall on our faces and cry out to God for the sins of our nation, more so than just our own. And that they wanted to remove anything, to cut to the short, the bill was to shut down Christian broadcasting. Luckily, people got upset about it, called their senators, and it didn't pass the vote. But do you think they're just going to lay down and say, okay, well, since we lost, we might as well just quit? Brian has put together a website with us on there. Do you know when that law passes, he will be an outlaw? That will be illegally. When me or Robbie gives him a message and he puts it on there, because he don't find a Muslim and everybody else that has a different opinion and put it on as a trailer with it, he'll be considered an outlaw. That can't happen. I'll just give you a list of other things that can't happen. Not only just contacting your senators, we need to also contact our Savior. We need to make our prayer known to God. He tells us we need to weep in between so that they can't say, where is their God? If their God is so mighty, let Him do it. Let's see what He can do. We don't want that to really happen to us. That's what we do in impending times of this judgment that is coming, is not just throw our hands up and say, we quit. Not just let the devil come in our dark times and say, well, Cheryl, you're just one person. What good your prayers going to do? What's it matter, Rick, if you change? You ain't going to change the world. What's the sense in even trying? Why you even care to go to church? What does it matter? In the whole bucket of life, you're not even an eyedropper drop. Can I tell you? You're a whole lot more than that. Usually if somebody's trying to take your value away from you, you're very much valuable and they're trying to make you believe that you're not. Because if I can keep you under my thumb, I can control you. But if you get to knowing who you are, you're out of control. Look at how the world changed with one person that walked into eternity. He walked into humanity. Now, if Jesus would have stayed dead and never risen, we wouldn't be here today, folks. But when he walked into eternity, it changed the world. One person. And then 12. And then above 300. And then added as God seen fit. You have to believe and understand in your heart that you make a difference in this world. Every single one of you, with your attitude and the way that you spread Christ with just your whole being, the epistle read of every man. You have to see your importance and not let that value be taken away from you out of the kingdom. Allow God to be in you, and you'll do that through and by prayer. Prayer, the conversation. Now, Zechariah, I believe along about chapter 4 or 5, seeing some judgments coming, and he began to speak to people about prayer and how to pray, where to pray, who should pray. And in chapter 12, it says, I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace of supplication. What he's saying there is, the more you pray, the more I'm going to give you to pray about. Now, what good would it do for me to ask you, Sarah, will you pray with me about this? No. Well, would you pray about this? No. Well, should I ask her anything else? Can't I get the hint what she's trying to tell me? No is the answer. So how can God pour out more on us if we're not willing to use what we have? Now, we can move into our corporate prayer, our church. Inside the church, this is where our prayer life should begin. This is where it's birthed, right? In Isaiah 57:7 and Matthew 21:13, God is clear in saying, my house should be called the house of prayer. Corporate prayer changes things. And again, as I said, in all of the impending times of judgment, prayer does start to change some things. Look at Abraham when God was getting ready to send the judgment on Sodom. And he was getting ready to go deliver that judgment. And Abraham said, wait a minute, God, if I can, let me just ask you a question. I believe he started with 50. He said, if you find 50 righteous, would you spare the city? God said, for 50, Abraham, I'll do it. Now that sounded to me like he's going to change his whole plan. I'm going to destroy them. Abraham's prayer was, if you find 50, will you not do it? I'll not destroy them. Abraham thought, well, maybe 50's pushing it. God, let me ask you this. How about 45? He said, for the sake of 45, I won't do it. How about 30? For the sake of 30, I'll turn my anger away. Well, God, don't get mad at me, but let me just ask you this. What if you can only find 20? He said, for 20, I'll not do it. He said, God, I'm but dust before you, and I've already challenged myself to speak, so I'm going to speak this to you. What if you find 10? Would you spare it for 10? God said, for 10, I'll spare it. And I don't know, there's only some older books. It's not really what I would call scripture, but one of their things was is that Lot's family was 10 persons, and Abraham really believed that they would be holding on to the word of the Lord only when Lot had drug his family into that and put up with the sin around him so long, when he went to tell his son-in-law, they mocked him. They kind of laughed at him. Said, what do you mean this is bad now? It's been good all this time. Why didn't you say something before? Folks, they were watching the way that their father-in-law lived. So our prayer will change things, but what we have to realize is our corporate prayer is simply that. The first and foremost place is this is where we need to have prayer. We need to come into prayer. We take up prayer requests so that we have agreement over those things, so that we can lift them all up to God. It was in this same setting is where that The corporate prayer is where the Holy Spirit was sent to the church to lead us and to guide us. Corporate prayer is what got Peter released out of jail. They were gathered together and they were praying. It made things happen. This should be the house of prayer that we need. But at the utmost point, our corporate prayer has its limits. Because believe me, Jimmy don't want to come up here on the altar and cry out to God and say, God, I'm a failure. I've done this and this and this. And everybody go, whoa, Jimbo. Jimmy think like it? Carol, does Jimmy really do that? So you don't, there's some things in corporate prayer you don't do. And I know every one of us, as close as we are to our spouses, there's some things that we don't even tell them, we just tell the Lord. Amen? It's in everybody. Why? Because we're not perfect. And there's only one that we can trust to truly forgive us. Right? So in our corporate prayer, not taking anything from it, but there's a setting for that, and that's here. And then we have what Zechariah called a house-to-house prayer. He said, every house apart. So that means we have to have kind of a prayer partner. Somebody that we can trust. Now, it don't have to be a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Get that out of your mind. It don't have to be a husband and wife. There has to be something that you can agree on. Me and you can come into agreement on a prayer that nobody else has to know. You need that your next level of prayer that you need to have. Some things that I can just go to you and I can say, Robbie, will you pray with me about this and trust him that it's not going to go anywhere? We have a hard time trusting other people, don't we? But it says, if any two of you agree touching one thing, so we're directed there to have a person that we can go to, and we need to find that person. Yeah, Amy, it does make you a little bit vulnerable to that person. But folks, there's got to be a love between you and the people that you're in the house of God with to where that you can build that trust. You have to open yourself. That's the way trust happens. It just happens. You need to be able to do that. Now, the third kind, or the last kind of prayer, and the one that I probably really want to get, I really want to hammer this one home, because I believe this is the one that we, and I say we, meaning all of us, are really lacking in. And that's a prayer closet experience. Having a prayer time. Matthew 6:6, this is what Jesus practiced and this is what he told his disciples. He said, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Mark 1:35 says, in the morning rising up, a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place there and prayed. Matthew 14, when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. You've got to have a time when you can pull yourself away and get to know Jesus and spend that time with God. I know, look folks, I'm telling you, I've walked the road. It's hard, especially when you first start practicing it and you go in and you say, okay, God, I'm going to spend this time just me and you. And I'll be honest with y'all. After about 5 minutes, Vicki, what else is there to pray about? You know why? Because I didn't have that conversation. I didn't really have that intimate relationship where I had talked to the Lord enough that I figured out I could talk to him. And I would be praying about this, Joan, and work would pop up in my mind. And I don't know, I can't think about that. I'm praying. I bring myself back over here and I start praying again. And I might think about me and Robbie going to go scouting next Wednesday or someday. No, I can't think about that. I got to go there. And you know what the Holy Spirit said? After about 2 weeks of this, Jimmy, he said, stop. If that's what's on your mind is work, pray about it. Tell me about it. I want what's on your heart, not a made up prayer. If you're thinking about you all going scouting, tell me about it. And I thought, wow. That puts no limit on prayer. That means God is concerned with everything that you think about. You mean there's no absolute directions what you have to pray? I think we need to pray about spouses, relationships, boyfriends, girlfriends, workplaces. Bring all of it up before God. How can He only be concerned for me on things that I can drum up to sound real impressive in front of Him? I mean, well, deep through the day, there's just some things pop up in your mind that you just need to talk about. He wants to know about those things. It may seem silly if she called up Carol and Carol said, what are you even thinking that for? It may be silly to Carol, but to Jesus, if it's on your mind, it is important. And if you keep fighting it and pushing it back, Satan is going to torment you because you're not able to give through the secrets of your heart. And that's what God wants, is your heart. He wants to know how you feel. He wants to know how you feel about me, about the bank, about Iris, Jimmy, Hannah, David, Debbie, Penny, Bobby, the church, Robbie, Puddinhead, Sarah. You mean God would be that concerned about Cheryl that He wants to know what's going on in her whole life? Yeah. And once she gets all of that out, once I got everything out that was on my mind, things that I couldn't even think about pop in my... Debbie, one time I was praying, and I don't know why, I could just see a man that was jogging got attacked by a dog. I said, oh Lord, I would not want that. I started praying, God protect him, let him be able to either get by the dog or the dog just not kill him. Have we ever seen on the news when a feller gets chomped up by one of them dogs that they just don't quit? Can God really, Joan, put somebody in Romania on your heart to pray for? Can God tell you in the middle of your busy work day, Vicky, when you're doing your thing, saying, this airplane is in danger, and want you to pray for it? How many times does the Holy Spirit prick our hearts for something and we just write it off as a crazy idea? But He's desiring us to have that intercession. He said, I will pour out supplications with an S on His people. We need that closet experience. We need that alone time experience. When Saul had his experience on the road, and he decided at that point, I call it his salvation experience, because he decided, I'm going to accept Jesus and I'm going to live for Him. Did Jesus send him to the disciples to be disciplined and to be taught? No. Did He send him to the local tabernacle or the local church for a corporate prayer? No. Did He send him to Ananias and say, go to Ananias and he's going to tell you what to do? Nope. He sent him to a place and got him alone for 3 days so that they could work the relationship out. Then He sent Ananias to pray with him. Then He goes to the disciples. Do you see how it developed? Once you get that relationship, it will bleed over into every aspect of your life. And God will send you into those places and you'll begin to have a heart for people. And a love for them that is so great. Things that you won't know where it come from. But if you can imagine that it's happening. Drunk driving accidents. Things that happen in schools. All of the stuff that is going on in this world. Who does God have to lift this up other than His people? Who's going to pray about it if you don't? And if we say, well, somebody. Boy, what did we just do with our responsibility and relationship with Jesus? God, don't help them. Just take care of me. It's kind of like the guy who come to Jesus and said, how must I enter into your kingdom? He said, keep the commandments. You know what they are. I did that all my life. Something you lack. And if I'm the whole center of every prayer that I have and every thought that I have is all about me and all around me and everything that I want, I lack something. There's something that's lacking. And I understand, I know, well, I just don't have time. But you do. I don't have a place. Jesus found a mountain. Peter found a rooftop. I know a feller who's got a log fell down out at Taylorsville at the very back of Briar Ridge. That's his prayer place. I know another feller that's got a rock sitting out there on the side of I don't know, I don't remember the name, the highway number, but got a rock. That's his prayer place where he can go to be alone with Jesus. There's places out there. If you have to, it could be your garage. It could be your house. It could be under your deck. It could be anywhere you can go to get rid of the cell phone and the telephone so that you can get in touch with God. Well, I just don't know if I can do that. Look, folks, if you're in love with something, you'll find some way to spend time with it. You'll find some way to do it, some way to accomplish, to have time to do that with. You fall in love with somebody, and you'll find some way to spend time with them. Even if the parents are opposed and they got the guards out, you'll find some way to get out. You'll find some way to get in contact. Why? Because it's a burning desire in you. We've got to be careful. I believe it's Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. There, Ephraim was going underneath a judgment, and God had instructed them what to do. And Ephraim told God, they said, "You know, we're sorry, but I'm like an ox that refuses to be broken to the plow. I've got the energy, I've got the know-how, and I've got the will, and I'll plow if I can plow where I want to." And they said, "We slipped out of the plow, and we would go our way, but the Lord would put the yoke on tighter and tighter until we turned from our goings and came back to the path of the Lord. And then we understood why." And anybody, I don't know, Denzel puts out a garden. "Brother, if I come over and told you I was going to lay your rose for you and you just seen them going every which way," he did laugh. "That's exactly it. How are you going to do anything with that?" I said, "Yeah, but Denzel, that's the way I want to do it." "Well, that ain't the way you do it. There's a specific outline that God has for us. And folks, us coming apart in impending judgments is not the outline God has for us. That is the time that we need to be the strongest that we can possibly be. When the world is looking for answers, we need to be praying. We don't have to answer why, but we can tell them about the eternity, and that is the answer. What's going on right now? I don't know, but I can tell you what is going to happen. I can tell you that sooner or later, we're going to perish and stand in front of a God that's going to give us a judgment for what the deeds that we've done in our body. And we can't blame it. I can't blame it and say, "Well, God, you know, Rick Wethington, Rick's in behind you. We're talking about you. Well, Brad said, well, no, Brad's behind you. We're talking about you right now. Well, Robbie, he was pastor. No, Robbie is behind you. Well, what about T.D. Jakes and Joyce Myers and all? No, they're all going to stand in judgment. What did you do with what I gave you to do with?" See, that's where the talents came in. God gave each one what he had the ability to handle. And he said, "Take care of it." Look, our prayer closet is our classroom. That's our schoolroom. The Holy Spirit, he is our teacher. And Jesus is the principal. And if we'll just take what the teacher's teaching us and start to apply it in our lives, we won't ever have to be punished by the principal. Let's make time for God. And I know, folks, look, I know anything new added to our already loaded schedules is just too much. But I'm telling you, it'll pick you up. It'll get you going. I don't want to see a show of hands, but in yourself. And it may not, maybe it ain't for nobody but me and me alone, maybe me and another person. But think in your mind, when was the last time that you pulled away in prayer with your Bible, just you and God, for any amount of time? Think about it. And if it was good enough that Jesus, who had all of the anointing that he could handle, and he needed to do it so that he could stay in the will of God, how about us? I know, and again, I tell you, I sympathize with you. I understand. It's hard to carve out another hour in your day. It is. And if you have to, get your little pocket planner out and plan it out and just make it happen. Set a date with God. Set a date with Jesus. And allow God to start to perform His perfect will in you. Because He'll do it. He will certainly do it. So what are we to do in these impending times when things get crazy? We're to lift up the name of God. Lift up the world in judgment, in prayer. Lift up the world and ask God, Lord, be merciful. I don't know about you all, but I love this country. I don't want to see nothing happen. Sis, I enjoy my lifestyle. I don't have no big four-wheel drive that I'd like to have or a big farm that I can hunt on of 500 or 600 acres. Wouldn't that be nice, brother? 500 or 600 acres and have somebody to plant our food plots for us and set the tree stands and everything. I don't have all of that. But I do enjoy what life I have. I really do. I enjoy the freedom to come to church. I enjoy the freedom to be able to preach the Word of God and to witness it to people. I enjoy that. And the thought of those freedoms being taken away from me just shakes me to my bone. But we cannot, as the church, a sleeping giant, just lay on the cot and snooze it away. As long as there's breath in us, folks, we need to go to our God, believing that He can. That's all I feel that the Lord has. I'm thankful again for you all coming tonight and listening. And please take it. Take it and try. Just try an alone experience with God. Try a closet experience where you're just alone with Him. And it may take a couple times for you to get it running. Because like I said, your mind will run crazy. But the Lord cares about every little single thing that's on your mind, Joan. Every little thing. Because He cares for you, sis. He cares for you so much that He would say, Behold, I'm with you always, even unto the end.